Hi, Bee Culture readers. I'm Jim Tu. I'm a columnist for Bee Culture magazine, and I'm giving you this audio rendition of the article I wrote for February 2023. It's entitled, A Few Unique Beekeeping Tools and Some Other Cockamamie Ideas. One of my very first beekeeping thoughts when I was first accidentally introduced to beekeeping was, I can build this wooden equipment. So I did. As a totally new beekeeper with above average woodworking abilities, I set up my shop, bought pine lumber, built jigs for making repetitive cuts, and then I went to work. For a couple of years, I even built my own wooden frames. While I was never cost competitive, I got a strange satisfaction from cutting my wooden equipment. It was my beekeeping project and not something I just bought. I loved doing this work until I didn't. After only about two seasons, the simple construction procedures and the mindless repetitive cuts became monotonous. Listeners, as an aside, when running power tools, boredom is a great way to be awarded a trip to the emergency room. In my life, I've made two of these significant trips, but I'm happy to say that I still have all my body parts. I have not built my own equipment for many years now. I could, but why bother? I've been there, done that. All my beekeeping life, I've looked at non-beekeeping devices and various procedures and wondered, could I use that in my beekeeping efforts? I'm not talking about things like a woodworking shop, a pickup truck, a mobile phone, or a good pair of boots. Rather, I'm talking about the odd items that were never intended for beekeeping use that could possibly be effectively used in my beekeeping craft. Readers, be forewarned that much of what follows is half-baked. I will make only a scant few recommendations. I guess I could say, as it were, do not try this at home. An electric heat gun. I'm amazed at how often a heat gun fulfills an unanticipated use, both in life and in beekeeping. But in this article, I want to stay within beekeeping. I've used heat guns to soften heavily propolized frame rests in bee boxes. Quickly heating the gummy propolis makes it significantly easier to scrape and clean. I've used heat guns to quickly liquefy small amounts of honey when I was in a rush. I've used heat guns to loosen the sticky bottom bearing in my old extractor. I've used heat guns to clean and sterilize my hive tool. On the web, some of you have described how to use a heat gun to uncap honey. The uses seem endless. But then I became too excited. Could I use this heating device in my bee yard? So I set the heat level to low and opened a hive and hit the alerted bees with a waft of very warm air. Listeners, it did not have the desired effect. In fact, it may have even energized the bees a bit. I quickly decided that the idea was one for the beekeeping idea trash heap. I rolled up my extension cord and put the gun away. But wait. I just saw an advertisement that major heat gun manufacturers are now producing battery-powered units. That long extension cord would not be required. And obviously, I will be needing one of these units. This is my tentative plan. Next spring, I want to see if I can use the hot air produced by the battery-powered heat gun to soften the propolis seal on the inner cover when I want to gently open a colony. Secondly, I want to see if I can use the battery unit to soften propolis on the top bars to loosen them without having to pry and bang them out from the bottom side of the super. While this looks good on paper, I'll have to get back to you next spring. Stand by. Ratchet straps are essentially complicated bungee cords. While both of these are beautiful devices, the ratchet strap is now a significant part of my beekeeping equipment. Of course, I have told you time and again, I'm no longer a young man. In my youth, when preparing to move hives, the best recommendation that I had at the time was hive staples or the early non-ratcheting version of straps. The non-ratcheting straps were too difficult to tighten and loosen too easily. They failed my test. Staples were a different story. During those times, beekeepers bought staples by the case. There was even instructions and lectures on how and where to position the staples on the hive bodies. Beekeepers, an aside here. Many years ago, trucker's hitches. What was that word? Trucker's hitches were a style of rope knots that were used to tie down bee colonies and really anything else that one wanted to keep from falling from a wagon or a trailer. This tie-down system is even older than staples. Today, video instructions for tying this simple knot are readily available on the web, and I've personally used these ropes with truckers' hitches knots to lash about 80 colonies for a round trip to and from Ohio to Florida. This old idea, which greatly predates ratchet straps, is still useful, but rarely used today. Back to the article. Installing staples was always somewhat comical. Nothing alerted the bees like banging on the sides of the hive as staples were being installed on it. So envision this scenario. Here we are, preparing to move colonies. And what are we doing? Banging on the colonies to get them agitated before loading them. Then more banging on the hive when the staples were removed. Staples were not a perfect plan, but at the time, the procedure was the best we had. Grumpy bees are not. An aside, hive staples are an historic bee supply catalog sleeper. While I can't say when they were first offered in bee supply catalogs, I can find them in catalogs from 1931, but not in 1928. So maybe sometime during that range. For sure, hive staples have been used in beekeeping for 92 consecutive years. And they are essentially the same device today that they were then. However, in the earliest years, staples were copper-coated so they could be used multiple times without rusting. I, in fact, have straightened and used staples over and over again. It should be noted that, over time, reoccurring staple use will cause considerable damage to wooden hive bodies. Listeners, yet another staple aside. Hive staples have been handy for uses other than beekeeping all along. I've used them to improvise a gate-closing mechanism. They work well as hanging hooks for anything. Pictures, hive tools. I've used them for quickly joining boards together. In general, for the improvisational person, these large staples can provide quick, clever solutions to immediate problems. They can also puncture tires when dropped in the bee yard. Back to ratchet straps. I don't recall the first time I was introduced to the ratchet strap. I must have 20 or 25 of these things now. They're common tools for multiple uses, but I particularly use them when I'm moving colonies. I always buy the heavy-duty, narrow straps. They're in the bee supply catalogs now. They weren't always there, so you can still get them, but I'm talking about using these when they were not in bee supply catalogs. Before I get away from this, and while I'm into it, my dad used brick straps. They're just flat pieces of metal with holes in them, and you could screw them to the sides of hives, which is what he did with an electric drill. Brick straps are normally used to tack to the house and then to put in the mortar between brick joints to hold a brick facade wall against the side of a house or a building. So, Dad's idea, and once again, you chew up the colony with these screws coming and going, but you know, at least you're not banging and hammering, and they accomplish the same things. Back to the article. For heavy colonies being loaded under rough conditions, I ratchet strap the hive components together with a single strap, and then I ratchet strap that whole thing to the hand truck that I'm using. I must say that propolis is useful in restricting the slippage of the strapped hive components. One of the reasons that I added the brick strap component was that I didn't have a lot of propolis on some of the units I was moving at the time, and the strap will let the hive slip a little bit. These ratchet straps work best if the ratcheting mechanism is in the center of the hive top. Locating it along the side is the second best. It's a little bit harder to get to. Letting the hooks hang along the side while the strapping mechanism is on top is the least desirable. The only quirk, threading the strap into the ratchet mechanism, has a bit of a learning curve, but you'll figure it out. These gadgets are field-tested, and as far as I'm concerned, they're proven. The limitation to ratchet straps is the sheer number required for moving large numbers of colonies. Honestly, they become impractical. It seems to me these devices would work best for hobby beekeepers, or at best, smaller sideline beekeepers. Listeners, I use two foldable work platforms as a support base for my extractor and settling tank. This is something I've just done for the last couple of seasons. Those foldable work platforms, you see them at big box home supply stores. They stand about 2 feet tall. You pop out the legs on each end, and then you can stand on that to, you know, work near the ceiling of your house or whatever. I did it just with one at first, and it was too wobbly. So I got two of those, and go figure, I used ratchet straps to tie them together. And it made a fairly stable, okay extractor base. So I'll return to the article and pick up reading here. The platforms tolerate some wobble and are stout enough to withstand the weight. I ratchet strap the two platforms together. While not perfect, it's a quick and simple procedure. This is yet another item that I found at big box stores, not at bee supply companies. Snow mats. Beekeepers in warm climates, I'm sorry, you're going to be at a disadvantage here. For those of you who never need snow, I need to clearly say it's premature to rush out and have these snow mats shipped to you in a warm climate just for this purpose. So stand by. Let me keep tinkering with this before I get too excited about it. But for those of you who deal with snow and already have the heated mats, these things just seem to cry to be used in beekeeping. I wrap my extractor tank with these large heating mats. I find that it keeps the tank somewhat warm so that the honey flows to the bottom a bit faster not great, but I was eager to find an alternative use for these things. I was reluctant to put the heating mat beneath the vibrating wobble extractor. I was afraid that it would wear through the mats and cause an electrical short. I tried putting the mats beneath a large, heavy aluminum flat pan to see if I could use snow mats to heat the honey supers before extracting. That did not work. Primarily, the problem seemed to be that the mats didn't produce enough heat. What would happen if I put this heating mat beneath my wintering hives? I have no idea how that would work, but I continue to be intrigued by my lingering idea. The mats are about, 20 inches, 2 feet wide, and about 5 feet long, maybe. I think there'd be enough length and width to have two colonies sit on one mat. This is one of those ideas that works well on paper. I haven't tried it. Maybe one winter day soon, I'll give it a shot. Here's an aside about the snow mats. I emailed the manufacturer of the snow mats and told them I was exploring using their mats in my honey extracting operation and how I was using them. They didn't respond. Later, in response to an advertisement for their snow mats, I sent an iMessage describing my interest in their product. They didn't respond to that message either. Two messages with no response. Don't you think that they are trying to tell me something? I have a moisture meter for determining the water content of wood that I might be working with. Of course, I immediately wondered if I could simply put the moisture meter probes in honey and get a moisture reading of the honey from that meter. Didn't work. I contacted the company, and they actually sent me a different detecting connector. But I couldn't make that work either. The scale wasn't sensitive enough. Listeners, it would be so slick if that would work. Rather than having to load a refractometer, I would only need to put the probes in honey, and voila, a moisture reading. I backed away from the use of my wood moisture meter for this use. Someone else can give this a try for a while. Pry bars. What can I say? In my experience with beekeeping, hive tools have come a long way, but not far enough. As an aside, I want to quickly say that when I was a young man, you got two hive tools, a long one or a short one. And now when you look in the bee supply catalogs, oh, there must be 7, 8, 10 different styles of those things. Back to the article. If a beekeepers work in a smallish hive that is regularly worked, all is well when using the traditional hive tool. However, when trying to dig out frames from a behemoth colony that's not been opened in a long while, that light hive tool is going to be pushed to the maximum. I have an assortment of larger pry bars to include an actual wrecking bar. None of these were purchased from a bee supply catalog, but be aware that there is an upper limit. When using pry bars with significant leverage, the soundly stuck top bar will rip from the end bars rather than pull the whole frame out. Propolis-embedded plastic frames are miserable to pull out with any type of hive tool. The plastic flexes, allowing the pry bar to break free. Those frames that are really stuck will require being driven out from the bottom of the super. In fact, I've got a modified short-handled hammer that I use just for that purpose. Plus, I can still use the hammer to drive nails and the occasional staple. Listeners, I'm running out of article space here, so in the article I condensed some thoughts shamelessly. Number one, I presently use HVAC pads as leveling foundations beneath some of my hives. When you're driving around town, look for air conditioner compressors sitting outside, and they're frequently sitting on large plastic pads. Those I'm sorry to say, I'm happy to say, that those have worked well. Expensive, but they work well under some of my colonies. Number two, I've wondered if an old, retired sleep apnea air compressor device could be used to deliver smoke or in some way maybe oxalic acid fumes. Not enough air there to really blow bees off, but what could that tiny compressor be used for in beekeeping? I see these things all the time at various Goodwill stores. So does that have any use, that little air supply in beekeeping? Number three, a leaf blower can clearly be used to remove bees from supers, but is there some way that it could be used to deliver smoke or provide cooling for the beekeeper? What could this leaf blower be used for besides just blowing bees from supers? Number four, can the flame from a propane-powered weed killer be used to sterilize wooden equipment or maybe to melt away burr combs and propolis? I don't know. One day I'll give this device a try. Number five, I have successfully used a pet bowl heater for providing a winter water supply for my bees. Wintering birds also greatly appreciate this rare liquid water supply. Number six, I use a 3-inch wide scraper with a disposable blade for removing old combs from foundation inserts. I bought this scraper at a big box home supply store. Ironically, I use my heat gun to soften the combs before scraping. This one's number seven is out there a bit. Would a deer cart be more or less useful than a typical hand truck for moving a beehive? I don't have one of these carts. I don't know. But every time I see that collapsible folding cart, I wonder if that has a use for moving beehives. Number eight, could the plastic bags that my newspaper comes in be used as a disposable syrup feeder bag for wintering colonies? I don't see why not. Obviously, it can't have any puncture holes in it. Presently, I've got about 100 of these bags that are crying for some kind of bee use. Number nine, does a Mylar survival blanket have any use for a wintering bee colony, especially when used inside the hive? I don't know. I'm still thinking about this. Number 10, archery equipment has been used to string a retrieval line to a high swarm. While I have not personally done this, others of you have. You know who you are. You sent me photos. Listeners, you beekeepers are an adaptive lot. If you've got novel uses for tools or devices that you'd want to share with others, I'd love to hear from you. I enjoy this kind of concept where I look for things that make my beekeeping life easier. I appreciate you listening. I thank you so much. If I need to hear from you, you can contact me. For this month, that's it. Thank you. Bye-bye.